Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, you know how we love to do it here, is that once our guest presents, and I love when my guest presents because I look at these folks as modern day sages. These are the ones that have gone through something and they have become awoken and they are now walking and living by principles that have governed their lives. And so we are going to tap into some of that information so that you and I can become better students of ourselves, so that we can become better human spirits while we are visiting here on this planet. Nicoletta, talk to us. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment.
Hi, Ken. Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me. My name is Nicoletta Porojanu. I'm a Romanian-British psychologist, therapist, and educator. And if I would choose to say what I'm doing in just a few words, I am guiding happiness seekers through their journey of self-discovery, healing, and personal growth. To say a few words maybe about me, or I leave it to you.
Oh, no, go ahead. Tell us about your practice.
Right.
And then we'll go back and talk about all the fun stuff.
So I think it's important to mention that I'm a survivor of childhood trauma and triple negative breast cancer myself. So I come from a place of pain and suffering, like probably all of us. And I am very interested in authentic human connection. I'm interested in healing. I'm interested in personal development. And I really love to help my clients to grow conscious awareness, to heal their past, to develop relationship attunement, because I feel that in a way, this is the only path towards opening to happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And over the past two decades in the world of psychology and psychotherapy, I had the joy of guiding countless people, countless happiness seekers in a way that struggled in their relationship with a traumatic past or with anxiety, with depression, with codependency sometimes, with addiction and different other afflictions or physical illness, to transition from conflict, from confusion, from trauma and pain into a sense of clarity, into a sense of happiness and fulfillment. And to do this, I created in time all sorts of programs. And today I'm doing a 360-degree life makeover. It's a program that encapsulates all my life learnings in my private, social, and professional life. And what's special about my work, or unique, or my thing, is that I create a bridge between psychology and psychotherapy and different other disciplines like anthropology, quantum physics, epigenetics, transpersonal psychology, and of course, Eastern spirituality traditions. I think we all need to learn to embrace presence and conscious awareness. And I find that without these disciplines, just looking to the perspective of limited psychology or psychotherapy schools of thought, I feel that we can't actually see the big picture. And in my learnings, these disciplines are essential to understanding human life and suffering. So I'm writing my first book. I'm doing an online course. I'm trying to introduce it as a self-therapy course, a digital course for people that maybe can't stay in therapy for the rest of their lives. So they have been for a while or they are still hesitant, to provide them a framework of self-discovery and healing that they can use for the rest of their lives without having to attend weekly sessions if they can't do it or they can't afford to do it. And I'm also the host of my Open to Happiness podcast. I am the founder and the chair of trustees of the mental health charity The Significant You, which operates in England and Wales. It's a project, my gift to the humanity, in a way. After my illness, I just wanted to give something back to the communities. So that's me in a nutshell.
Wow, that's a lot in a nutshell. So let's unpack this wonderful nutshell that you have presented to us. And I, as I was listening to you, I thought came to mind about the people, and I always say to those that are seeking, you have to seek, you have to want it. And once you want it, you will get it, because there are certain principles that need to be activated by your desires. And once those principles, once your desire is activated, everything else will come into place. And I always tell people, get yourself together, because once you get yourself together, in this sense, activate your desire. Look at your situation and say to yourself, ask these questions. Do I really want this? Am I happy with this that is presented before me at this time? If you're not, activate that desire, because once it's activated, everything else will, you'll pull, your energy will pull all the people, all the situations into your life that will cause you to begin to start that journey. So, Nicoletta, here we go. We're going to go back to when they started programming you. You got your mom and dad in the hospital. They give birth. This beautiful baby comes out, and this beautiful baby is in this family. Tell us about your family and your parents.
Right. Well, I was born, I was the second one. In a working class family in a communist Romania in the early 70s, when parents were going to work 7 days a week. I don't know if many people know this in the world, but this is still happening across the world in many parts. We are not aware of it in our Western world. And when I was 4 months old, my parents took me to my grandparents. This was the culture on those times. And I spent my first 7 years of life with two beautiful grandparents, a very wise grandfather that was a prisoner in the war, was injured. He was a sage in the village. He was very wise, a modest, humble person, but really loved and appreciated. And a very mystical grandmother who was the healer in the village.
Wow.
And everyone would come for potions and a little bit of talking therapy on that, on those times.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were very kind and caring. I was blessed. I think they allowed me to really develop that kind of secure attachment and develop a sense of respect and trust in the humanity. But when I moved back with my parents, when I went to school, I was exposed to domestic abuse and some neglect, naturally, because they were trapped in their drama, whatever was going on in there, with an alcoholic father, quite violent, and a codependent mother that would never say anything against it, and would go with the status quo, what's happening.
Yeah.
And at about 8, I think, I had my first spiritual awakening when I realized that my neighbors are somehow different than my parents, and I wonder, what is this about? So I started to observe the world quite early and have that kind of sense of myself. It was obviously early stages. It was a childish sort of exploration. But my sister came about, my little sister came about soon after, so I became the caregiver. Part of my childhood has been a little bit stolen in a way, if you want to think about it. Although there's been time for play and to enjoy the, you know, those wonderful years. But for about 10 years when I returned to my parents until I left home, I went quite deep into my self-reflection. I read a lot. I was searching. I tried to find out, what's going on? Is this our family? Is this the norm? Is this how it has to be? Because I was challenging. I was actually the only one in the family that was challenging my father. And I felt like I'm the only one that is facing him. And it didn't change much, but it changed inside me, the way I'm approaching the world, the way I'm developing my identity and the sense of self. So that's kind of followed me in life. It's been the beginning of that kind of self-inquiry that never ends.
Yes, and I'm still
on this path. I qualified as a clinical psychologist, and then that wasn't enough. I worked in palliative care with the dying. I was very young. I wasn't ready for this. So there were so many existential questions showing up that I did not have answer to. I wondered, what is the point of this existence? People were living this world, you know, this life without having that kind of meaning and purpose, that kind of understanding. What was the life about? They had so many regrets. They were quite unfulfilled. So this kind of inquiry always continued. I wasn't sure which way it would lead, but at some point I've decided that this could be maybe a cultural thing. So I wanted to find out if it is or not. So I moved to London and I spent my last 15 years in London. I was really embraced by this culture, the British culture, naturalized there now. And I've changed as a human being. And I'm grateful for all of these learnings and teachings. And I had the chance to work with 49 nationalities, which I feel it's been absolutely mind-blowing. Yes. And it allowed me to realize that we are not different, that it doesn't matter where we are born, what's going on within our culture. We kind of go through the same life challenges and we respond to the same adversities.
Trauma is trauma.
Yes, absolutely.
Trauma does not understand and does not see color, doesn't know anything about it. Trauma is trauma, and how we deal with that as individuals, that's the difference, I think, some people like yourself. I'm listening to you, Nicolette, and I'm hearing this theme. I've interviewed so many people, and a lot of them that have started the journey of self-development and all of that stuff started at this young age when they were a little different than the others. And the difference came with the deepness of self-reflection, looking at self, looking at the behaviors of others, studying self, studying the behavior of others. And it's really interesting to hear you articulate that. And as you're doing that, I'm remembering all these different conversations about people about the same age and how it propelled them into this life of seeking knowledge, seeking self-development. And it is a difficult journey. I am not here to tell anyone that this is easy. It is difficult, and it ought to be difficult simply because we have created these giant belief systems that we have to dismantle. And that's the difficulty part of it, because it's painful to face those giant lies that we have built up and given strength to. But it is the most rewarding. It is the most beautiful thing you will ever do while you're here on this planet. One of the things why I started Threads of Enlightenment, Nicolette, was because I saw people 80s and 90s never, ever starting that journey. And it broke my heart to see that. And I wanted to create a space by which we can have conversations to wake people up to the fact that they are greater than what they have been programmed and believed. Here you are, Nicolette, you're this young girl getting all these insights, looking in, becoming a student. That's a traumatic situation to be placed in from your grandparent, to be placed in that boiler room of actions with your family, your parent. How did that those situations there begin to impact and form the mentality by which now you are perceiving life as a young girl?
First of all, I'd like to agree that offering ourselves this gift of self-discovery is the best thing we can do for ourselves in life if we manage to do it. And I agree that some people don't get a chance to do it. Maybe it's in their karma to not do it. Maybe it's not happening in this existence. But for me, it's been, I think it's been a sign of self-love to be able to go within, to permit myself to go within and acknowledge what's been happening in my life. In a way, I never took it as being so traumatizing that I can't cope with it anymore, because you develop resilience as you go through it. And as you're searching for solutions, for understanding, for meaning, you're healing gradually in time, or at least you're attempting, or you're keeping the hope open. So it's been hard. You're right. It's not easy for a child to go through that experience. What was helpful for me was that my father was drinking today, and maybe he was calm and joyful and quite charismatic in a way. And then for a few days, we had a very calm atmosphere in the house. So we had some moments of joy and safety in a way. But then the violence will start, and then there will be disengagement for a few days. No one would talk to him when he was violent or aggressive or verbally or whatever. So it was a mixture of things. So for me, it was a confusion between who is my father? Is it this kind person that everyone loves when he's sober? Or that alcoholic that is becoming a monster sometimes. So this splitting was very interesting for me to study in my education, in my training, and it helped me to really understand that we are complex as human beings. We are not just this or that. We are on a continuum of experience. We can be anything, from the most beautiful human being to the most evil, every single one of us. And I have been through those stages myself. And the trauma that's been passed on to me has been part of my genetic memory. And I passed it on to my son now, without realizing in time, in all sorts of ways of behaving and cues and expectations and so on. Maybe I didn't do what my father did, but in a way, that's continued to be, you know, transmit it further. So now the work is about healing myself, understanding what's been happening, and helping creating a platform in a way for my son to heal himself as well. He doesn't want to have children. He said, everything stops at me. Don't worry about transgenerational trauma. I'm not going to do anything. It's going to stop here. We don't know if it's going to be like that or not. But in a way, yes, it's been hard. But as long as you remain connected with yourself and you do that work, you do that inner work day by day, and you remain committed to this self-discovery, to this healing, to this post-traumatic growth, then everything changes. I found it very helpful to study, to be in therapy myself, and to work in the clinical practice and learn from my clients, because I'm a practitioner researcher as well. So the best learnings for me came from my clinical work, not from the books, I would say.
I think looking into my life and looking again into the lives from conversation of other people, I believe that the traumas that we receive from our parents, we take it and we change it. We adapt it to us. And when we adapt this, whatever those behaviors are, to our being, it is disguised in a way. And it is so familiar to us because it helped us cope with the initial encounter. And because we have disguised it a little and caused it to come into us, we don't recognize that we are doing it, because we changed it. We changed how we now manifest this thing that was coming down from our parents and whatever is done a little differently. So we don't really kind of like grab it and say, oh my God, until much later, when we are really beginning to go into those corners, those hidden rooms that we have closed the doors on in our memory and stuff, and started ripping those things apart, then we begin to notice these things and go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And we realize that we have behaved that way, but it changed slightly. And we are, once we are aware of it, we spend the rest of our life in dealing with arresting that, those thoughts, those memories, and then slowly beginning to dismantle them and take away their power so that we do not transmute this into the next generation. So we try to change it and try to basically put an end to it. I think I always say we take out the oxygen from it so that it's not able to grow and penetrate the next generation. It is a constant battle. It is one that you and I have to become. You become a soldier in a way to your thoughts, to your behavior, to your patterns. But it's beautiful. It's painful, but it's beautiful. And everyone ought to do it because it is exciting. You don't know where it's going to lead because it's creating a new you. But I can tell you that it's beautiful, though. So here you are. You're dealing with some of these things. You're in. You've gone into the practice, and so you've studied some of these. What were some of those, as we had mentioned earlier, some of those thoughts that you had magnified and empowered to grow in your life, to stagnate you in your personal growth as to who you are? What were some of those thoughts that you had, you realized, some of those thoughts that morphed into behaviors, whatever fear it was, whatever, maybe something I didn't like myself, or whatever it is that we build up? Where are some of those things that you recognize, and then you had to deal with them?
I feel privileged. I think this is a sign of luck for me to have had this kind of sense of self quite strong, because I had this experience with my grandparents. I modeled them in a way. They were my mentors, not my father and mother. I was connected to them. So I wanted to replicate that. I thought of myself as being that in the world. I chose, since I was very early, very young, you know, very early in life, that I'm gonna follow my grandparents, not my parents. I could make the difference that this is aligned to me. This is right for me. This is where my values stand. So I had a quite strong sense of self and self-esteem and confidence. I did not struggle with this a lot. I didn't think bad of myself. My father used to say that I'm this and that. So he would, you know, gaslight me for everything. He would place responsibility on me or on us all for different things that he was frustrated with. Sometimes addictive people do when they feel stuck. But I never internalized that. I didn't believe him. I was always challenging
That's
him
good.
Because I was reading all the time, and I had fresh ideas that I could use to counteract whatever was coming from him. And he was very irritated, and he would read my books then. When I went to school, he would take my books from the library and he would start reading them to see where do I get these ideas, because he never understood where I get them from. I think I was connected in a way with the larger consciousness somehow, and I received messages in ways that were not necessarily written in the books. But I think I did not struggle much with not being good enough or not being accepted and loved, although I longed for that kind of acceptance, for that kind of connection in all my circles. I longed for that in the family, in the group of friends, in the family that I created myself then when I grew up, in my work as well. Without knowing, we are in counter transference with our clients. Wanting, obviously, to receive what we give. And that's been a sort of a theme in my life. But I think that's human. It's common to all of us. Fears, I think my only fear was cancer, because this is what's been my fear. Because I worked in palliative care since I was very young. And many of my clients suffered from cancer and they were dying quite early. I did not have only, old age. People that were towards the end of their life dying of old age. There would be young people in their 40s or 50s that would die. So I had this kind of fear of cancer. And then when my mom died of cancer in my arms, that's been amplified. And then a few years later, I was diagnosed myself with breast cancer with mm-hmm. a very rare aggressive form of breast cancer. And I was in my mid-40s. And I thought, that's it. That's the end of the road for me. Because yeah. I associated that experience from my work with the patients yeah. that were yeah. dying. And that's been my fear all along. So I managed to transcend that. I survived. I didn't die. And now, mm-hmm. obviously, I'm taking all of these learnings with me because there was meaning. I didn't want to waste yeah. my pain. There was some meaning there. It yeah. came to allow me to go through a deeper sense of awakening and understand a bit more and transcend this limited mind, because that yeah. was my main enemy in life. Being stuck in that mind, in that programming, in the conditioning, in everything that I yeah. learned, that I thought I know. Mm-hmm. And I managed to overcome that. And now I'm spreading the message, and I take this to all of the others to help them do it as well.
Excellent. Now we're gonna stay here for a little, because this is yes. really important. There's a couple of principles that were activated and mentioned within the conversation that you were having just now. There's a story in the Bible, and again, I use the Bible because it's what was my background, but I pull out the principles out of these things. There is a gentleman in the Bible where it's called Job, and he made a statement one day after his kids were dead. He lost all of his cattle. Everything crashed. Everything in one day crashed. And he makes this statement: "The thing that I have feared has come upon me." And so what I gathered from that is that I believe we are energy, and we pull those energy that, and fear is a powerful thing that we are not aware of. In some cases, most people but they're pulling it. They don't understand what's happening. That thought is that thought, because I had to deal with some of those in my life. One where the thought was constantly on my mind that I would die young. And I remember battling that, saying, that's not going to happen. And I would have to break that cycle of thought. So here you were, again, I mean, because of your situation, you're in a place where you're seeing this disease overtaking people constantly. It came in and overtake your mom. You're fearful of it. It comes upon you. This is the battle. Talk to me, Nicoletta, right here, because it's important for people to understand how you, what did you do to deal with this fear, to now overcome it, to become a survivor, because housed in that relationship with your fear is power. Can you talk to us about that relationship, and how did you manage to be where you are today as a survivor?
Sure. I would love to share this experience because I think it's very powerful. It's very empowering to all of your listeners. To be honest, at the time when I was diagnosed, I was shocked. There was a sense mm-hmm. of shock. I didn't believe it. It took me a while to actually, digest that and mm-hmm. take it as a reality. At the time when I was diagnosed in my mid-40s, I have been already through 30 years of formal education. Mm-hmm. 15 years of them have been studying psychology and psychotherapy or counseling at university and postgraduate level. So I've done mm-hmm. a lot of training. You would expect, and I've been in practice for a long time. I had thousands of hours of client work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you would imagine that someone like me, when this person gets diagnosed with cancer, she will have the tools to deal with this with no problem whatsoever. Well, it didn't happen, because mm-hmm. it wasn't the psychologist or the therapist getting cancer. Yeah. It was the human being, the woman, mm-hmm. the mother, the wife, the everything, the friend, the self.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it was really hard. I didn't even want to have chemo, mm-hmm. because I thought this is going to be too invasive. I thought, it didn't help my mother. It didn't help all of my patients. Why destroy the last few months or years of my life? I'm just going to cope like this.
Yeah.
But of course, my family pushed me, and they thought, you can't give up. They thought I'm giving up on life. That was their understanding. For me, it was more about searching for options. Yeah. What mm-hmm. options do I have? So I made three different plans, up to 5 years, up to 10, 20 plus. if I die older.
Yeah.
And I was prepared to actually look at this in a very rational way and accept it as part of my life. But it wasn't that easy because I had to go through a lot of understanding, and I struggled to understand from my conceptual mind. It didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Because with my genetic mutation, only 50% of the women get breast cancer. So why did I have to be into that 50%? So if you read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, I was all around there. Why me? Mm-hmm. Why now? Why is this happening to me? Trying to just get some meaning. And I couldn't get it through the intellect. It didn't happen to me. So whilst I was pondering on all of these questions, I've had a chest infection. And I'm talking about that. I'm talking about that in the video that I just posted on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I had a severe chest infection. I didn't know I had it. I was 2 months into my chemotherapy treatment, and I nearly died. I couldn't eat or drink. I had all the symptoms in the world from chemo. I basically thought I'm dying. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's because of the cancer. It's because of the chemo. And at some point, I was taken to the A&E, and they tried to hydrate me and bring me back to life. But whilst I was there in that bed in the A&E department in the London hospital, I felt that life is dripping out of me. I'm actually going. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I was still very attached to the outcome of what's happening, you know, very attached. And I knew the Buddhist principles, and I've done a lot of reading myself and some little practice around, you know, spirituality. But I couldn't connect with the real thing. It was always, everything was going on in my, you know, programmed mind. And at one point, I've reached that moment of just wondering and asking all sorts of questions. I've realized that the answers are not here in my mind. So I transcended the pain and everything I knew, and I surrendered. I said, okay, this could be the end. This is the end. This is my imminent death. Let's accept it. And that was beautiful. So the understanding for me led to acceptance, and then the acceptance went into surrender. And this is when I could feel really that I'm making sense of my life experience. Mm-hmm. This came for a reason, to teach me something. Maybe exactly this, that I can't stay stuck into my brain, into this programming. Yeah. Maybe I just need to search for more. I've been searching for this for years and years, but I was searching with my mind, with the same tunnel mind. I didn't go out of it. I was afraid to go out of that, or I wasn't ready. So with that learning, I managed to forgive, really. I felt a beautiful feeling of forgiveness towards my parents, trapped in their drama, realizing that they have been traumatized by their parents. They have had some stuff themselves that they haven't dealt with. You know, forgiveness for everyone and everything that maybe wronged me in any way. Forgiveness for myself for not doing things, or not having, or not awakening earlier, or not showing up for myself, or not showing love and compassion when I should have. And that changed something in me. That ignited a beautiful feeling of healing. It was peacefulness, blissfulness. I never experienced that in that form up until that moment. And that night something happened, because I was actually able to heal from that chest infection. I survived my cancer, which was very aggressive. No one understood how. I was one of the few people, a very, very small amount of people, that actually get completely cured, cured, that have no sign. They can't be even staged as being this kind of breast cancer. So I think there is a lot of wisdom in that story that I'm taking with me in the world. Yeah. And because this has helped me to transform, I'm putting all of these steps that I followed into my work now. I call them the 7 steps of real transformation. Because if you don't have the understanding, if you can't accept, you can't surrender. If you can't surrender, you're not going to learn anything. Because
you're never going to learn.
If you don't learn, you can't forgive. You can't forgive the others just by saying, I'm forgiving the people that have hurt me. And if you can't forgive, I think you can't heal. I think this is, for me, now that I'm applying this for years and years in my work, and my clients get the benefits, I can see that it's working. And for me, this is everything. It's just unbelievable that I discovered this. And it might not be for everyone. It might not be, you know, for everyone in the world. But at least if I can help one person, it's good enough. One person at a time, it's fantastic.
It's for everyone, Nicoletta. One of the chapters in the book that I told you about, Threads of Enlightenment, is about forgiving others. And in the midst of forgiving others, you have to forgive yourself first before you can forgive the others. Because until you do that, until you forgive yourself, because we are hardest on ourselves more than anyone else can ever be to us. And I always encourage people to learn to love yourself, to learn to be kind to yourself. There is a necessity in being kind to yourself, because if you can be kind to yourself, you can then be kind to others. If you are not kind to yourself, you cannot be kind to others. You're pretending. Kindness is something from deep within you. It is not a smile and a fake thing. Kindness is a real force. And until you begin to look first at the self, you know, everything else is a game, I think. But you mentioned in your presentation of that story, you visited so many principles that is just incredible. And I use the example of letting go. Letting go and the connection between the mind and the spirit, I call it, where this we program the mind, and there's this thing about the uncertainty of letting go, that because what we're doing when we come to that place, we're unhooking from the understanding of the mind. And we are now going into a space that is unfamiliar to us, because all my life I've been, I got this mind of mine, and now the spiritual aspect. And I use this story because, again, of my background. And I know a lot of people don't look at it that way, but I look at it this way. That's why I utilize some of the principles from the Bible. We have Jesus as an example. He's in this garden, and he is praying, and he don't want to die. And his father wants him to die. He says, this is a part of the plan. And he's in this garden, and he's sweating blood, going, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. It says this man was sweating blood, Nicoletta. And then he eventually came and he said, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't want to do this, but not my will, but your will be done. And so you and I, all of us, have to visit this place of letting go. And it's a difficult place. The reason why you sweat and blood, because it's a difficult place to be. Because you're now entering into a place that you're not familiar with. You don't have control of. And we are all control freaks. I get how you put it. You know, So when we are making this transition from the mental aspect to the spiritual aspect, and when you drop into that, there's so much power in that area that from him dying, he's able to affect the world. And so you and I have to come to this place of surrendering. And it is difficult because it is unknown. But in that space is tremendous power. In that space is healing. In that space, you claim your forgiveness. In that space, you got your healing. In that space, you got your connection. You came out a different person once you've surrendered. And that is the key to people, I say. You'll come out a different person. But in my life, I've learning this particular thing, Nicoletta, and I tell people, you and I must have a declaration of faith. And let me explain what that means. It is something that a statement that you and I have to make. We'll come to it. And that statement will govern our life. It'll govern our behavior. It'll govern how we study. It'll govern how we move. It'll push us when the time gets hard. Business will call that a mission statement. Every business that does not have a mission statement will fail. Everyone that does not have a statement of faith, it is something that you put into, you know, you said to yourself, okay, I am going to surrender. That was your statement of faith. In that circumstances, and I tell people, in your circumstances, you'll find your statement of faith if you allow yourself to get it. And once you get it, because that's the peace that you need. That's the power that you need. I'm telling people, my God, if you don't have that, you have no direction. A company does not have direction until they put their mission statement together. And that it doesn't. That mission statement will morph and change as you move on in your life. It is not it is just for that specific situation. It can be a global, like you said, you wanted to be a therapist and a psychotherapist. That's the global piece. But you had individual situations that came into your life that demanded a statement, a declaration that will move you to the other. You bring your clients to that place and they make that statement. And then you hold them to it. Great place to be. It's beautiful to see that you got that after you surrender. And a lot of people are telling me, you don't get it until you surrender. You're still fighting. If you haven't surrendered, you're still fighting. You're still holding on to that, to your ability that is connected to your head that doesn't have the answer. Because if you had the answer, Nicoletta, you would have dealt it a long time ago. You're not a masochist that want all this pain. So because you didn't have the answer is in the spiritual realm. You gotta surrender to make that transition from one to the other. Yeah, you can't do it. So the statement of faith, I tell people, is when you surrender.
Absolutely, I completely agree with this. I think you're right that kindness to the self is necessary, is important.
Absolutely.
It's the beginning. Unfortunately, we are not teaching our children to be kind to themselves. No. We are teaching them to be the best, to perform very well, to be competitive, and they internalize anxiety and fear and that kind of syndrome of not being good enough since they are very little. So they don't know how to be kind to themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't even see it in the family. Parents don't show it to themselves either. So it's a cultural thing specific to our modern world. And the letting go, I think you're so spot on. I love the way you explained it. It's such a beautiful way of sharing with the people the journey, how and what's happening at the end. What do you get at the end? It's finding your purpose in a way in life.
Yes.
You know,
isn't
that's the mission that you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes, it's the mission.
And stripping yourself from everything that is false to get to the point of your being, who you really are, yourself, in your authentic self.
Yes.
But I can appreciate that for many people, it's quite confronting and challenging to let go of the control that they have in life, or they think they have in life, the attachment to everything they know, because it's so, you know, identified with them. It's such important part of their identity. Mm-hmm. But when they do, then everything changes.
That's when
you start actually living your life, your real life.
You're giving birth to something. Yes, you're giving birth to something different, something totally new, because and I asked the question, if it was in your ability to change it, you would have changed it.
Absolutely.
If it was in the natural realm, but it is not, in the answer is not there. The answer is inside of you. And when you give that part of the being permission to do and to act and to be, it's a brand new world. It's something new that has been waiting for a long time for you to get to that space. Because in that space, you're able to be cured from a disease that not many people make it from. In that space, you're able to renew your mind, your thoughts, your energy. You'll renew your wisdom that you will get out in that space. From that place is the answer that you have been waiting for to give you the direction for the next 5-10 years of your life to start you and your family on a totally different trajectory forever. You've just changed it all. And I know it's a hard place. I use the example about Jesus because I wanted to show people it's hard. To the point where you're sweating blood, that's a difficult place to be. You know, none of us have really sweat blood. But to get to that point, we don't want to surrender. We don't. And but beyond that, people, trust me, it is a totally different life. And my hope is that you, as you're listening to us, that you learn to surrender. It's a great place. It's a difficult place, but it's a great place because there's a new world beyond that. Talk to me about some of the, you know, you're in your practice, you're now, have been practicing for many years, you're doing your books, you're doing all of the things now, this newness of you as you have learned how to control your thoughts, how to take a disease that is designed to kill and change it, bring the victory through that. And I believe, Nicoletta, and I tell people this, the reason why this happens to us is because God, who, whatever you want to say, can trust you with the experience that you're not selfish to hold on to it, can trust you now that you can turn around and hold someone else's hands that is in that very same seat that you're in and comfort them, hug them, walk with them, smile with them, and to bring them out, to make them aware of who they are. That's how we're bringing them out. We're just making them aware of who they are. And that I am here with you. You're not alone, because a lot of people think they're alone. And I believe that because you've been through those things, you are able, the energy that you would dissipate when you're speaking and dealing with that subject is one powerful thing that will go into that person's spirit and ignite them. They'll look at you and go, wow, oh, yeah. And because you know that you know. Nobody can take it away from you.
Yeah, sounds so, so wonderful. Well, now I feel that this is my purpose in life. This is why I'm here. It took me a while to find it. I went through all sorts of different other roads before to figure out if this is what I need. I went through different steps that were necessary for me to go through so I can arrive there. So now I love to spread goodness and well-being in the world. And I want to share my story. And I want to encourage people to believe that they can actually transform their lives. All they need to do is to become aware that life doesn't feel good inside of them. If there is something that makes them unfulfilled, that is not aligned with how they want to experience life, who they feel they are inside, then make that change. Start making that change. It's not such an easy journey. People need a little bit of convincing. They need a little bit of testing themselves. They need a little bit of trial. They are tested in all sorts of ways, usually through pain and suffering.
That's the way to go.
Awakening doesn't come through weddings and having a party or anything like that.
No.
It's usually coming after the party when you deal with the aftermath.
People don't understand creation. Creation is, there was darkness first. It is in the darkness that the creator is seen. If there is no need, if everything is nice and grand and perfect, all the planets align, the creator has nothing to do. Just look at it and enjoy it. But when darkness is in our life, in whatever form it comes, it is there for the creator to begin to create. And the creator in the darkness, that's why I say to people, it is that's the place that you will find and locate your statement of faith. Why? Because it will strip away all that dark place will strip away all the crazy belief system and whatever, whatever. And you're going to start asking the real questions. It is in the darkness that you will find your statement of faith, because it was in that darkness that God found his. And he said, let there be light. So he had to come up with one, and it was in darkness. So if we are creators, we then have to find our space, our statement, our mission statement, that thing, that phrase, that connection that will make you get up and walk. And when the painful time comes, you're going to keep walking. When the wind blows and it's cold, it's freezing, you're going to keep walking because you are saying that phrase, nope, I'm not done yet. And you will keep moving. There's a scripture that Christianity, they quote all the time, and they misquote it because the original language doesn't say what they quote. It says, decree a thing and it shall be established. But the original language said, decide a thing. You have to decide it first, Nicoletta, before you can decree it. So it says, decide a thing and it shall be established. And that is where you get your statement of fear in your darkness. Once you have decided that thing, trust me, you will pull the energy, you will pull the people, you will pull the circumstances into your life to make that thing that you have decided a reality. It is how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I think you need to make yourself available for a for this self-discovery and healing and personal growth first. Because if you don't want to have it, if you don't really create space in your life for this, it's not happening. And at the end of the day, every single human being deserves a bright future. And they deserve a satisfying job and career. They deserve, you know, to be loved and love others. Mm-hmm. They deserve to have happy relationships and resolve their conflicts. They deserve to live in harmony with themselves, with their families, with the other people, with the world. And we see what's going on in the world right now. It's not always happening, and it brings a lot of sorrow in our hearts. And everyone deserves to start their days with you know, joyful and excited, looking forward for this beautiful unfolding that is happening. This is a gift. Every second is a gift.
It's a
new life. Yeah, absolutely. And I think in order to do this, it requires a little bit of openness towards vulnerability and discovering and facing some aspects, some facets of our being and some aspects of our past that haven't been, totally pleasant, I would say.
Yes.
And just confronting those and accepting them, integrating them as part of our whole self, because we're not just the good part, we're everything in one, and we should accept that that's how we are, but also remember that the only power we have is our choice. We have the choice to decide whether we love ourselves or not, whether we trust ourselves or not, whether we consider ourselves valuable or not, whether we want to go on for our dreams or not. If we want to create our own future, we'll let other people, you know, make history in our life. It's all about a choice. That's the only power we have. And then having this power, it allows us to go on different roads. It's a choice that we're making, which way we want to go. And we, in a way, we create our own life.
Decide a thing. You cannot, the principle is you cannot oscillate back and forth. You cannot, you know, if you oscillate back and forth, there is no power within that, because it doesn't have the bullseye to hit, because it's moving back and forth, a moving target. But once you have decided a thing, the power of your decision is what, you know, we're talking about. It will manifest. That's the principle. And I think we are in the state that we are because we haven't decided a thing yet. But in a way, we have decided, because we, whatever we've decided has, it will establish, even if we decide to change our life or just to be proactive in with our thought life and decision making, or not, we just drift along. But in either form that you are living today, you have decided something. But the question is, are you happy? Are you satisfied? Do you want a change? If you want a change, then you need to decide another outcome that you want, and it will manifest. And Nicolette, I wanted to thank you for coming by. It's almost an hour already, and this is so easy. It's an honor to have you here, because you touch on so much that it is my hope that those that are listening to this conversation would reach out to you to get in touch with you. Those that are suffering cancer, any kind of disease, even beyond that, talk to her, have her give you insights, feelings, emotional things that she can walk with you, so that she can guide you in your current state, so that you can become victorious. Reach out to her, guys, in every format, and then we will present those things where you can get to her, so that she can take you to that next level, so that you can become a better human being, because she has deposited good stuff. I think I'm going to take some of those, and I'm going to change my life myself, girl. Thank you so much for coming by at Threads of Enlightenment.
Thank you so much, Ken, for having me. It's been a privilege to be here with yourself and your listeners. I encourage everyone to live from truth, live from your truth, and open to happiness, because this is the only way you're going to live from peace, not from tension. Best wishes to all of you.
Thank you.
Everyone who's listening to this broadcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials, to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.